I charge on my artwork, and they, I told them because of the city code that I can't charge anything, that I can only ask for a temporary donation. So he stepped into the picture and said, told me to close my books, my artwork, that I can't display them, and kept me there until I get a letter from the city management's office saying I could be out there.
Wow, Officer Brierly, did he say he'd gotten a complaint?
Nope.
And about what time of day did this happen?
Sunday, 5 o'clock.
Were you urinating in the street or harassing
people? No, I didn't need to go.
You know, I mean, what did he give you some indication of why he was singling you out at this time?
No reason, I think, because of the three Spanish guys I was gone at the time and his attitude at the time.
And so what was your response to this?
I asked him what I was doing wrong. He would tell me, and then by then I had a crowd of about 50 or 75 people standing around, tourists and everybody else, and people across the balcony were looking and wondering what was going on that was wrong. And apparently he didn't like me when I asked him for his name, even though I saw it on his name tag. I was trying to be somewhat respectful.
Why do you say he didn't like you when you asked him for
his name? Apparently he got a little irritated, pointed his finger at me, and then he calls it in on his radio violation on the 100 block, and then I asked him, excuse me, what's the violation? And he goes, you should be listening in on my conversation. I said,
How far away from you was he when he spoke on his radio?
About from me to you.
We're about 3 feet apart.
Mm-hmm.
So he suggested you perhaps should have put your fingers in your ears
mm-hmm.
and sung loudly to avoid hearing him.
I mean, I knew what area I was in without even having to look on a map.
So he was supposedly, he claimed you were violating some ordinance?
Which there's no signs or anything I knew about, which I tried to find out beginning of June when I did do my drawings as secretary from City Hall. Is there any... you know, ways of tips or donation, okay, put on a sign. She said, yeah, as long as you don't ask for a certain dollar amount. She said that was legal for me to do.
So who told you this?
The secretary at City Hall.
So a woman at City Hall who worked there said you can ask for donations, which is quite true.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you had that the week ago, was it 2 weeks ago today?
A week ago.
Last week, Sunday, a week ago.
He might be there today, too.
So... you had been doing this how frequently beforehand at the boardwalk?
The whole summer, since June.
And we're talking about on the public sidewalk, not actually on the private property of the boardwalk?
Yeah.
And did Officer Brierly enlighten you as to what municipal code you were supposedly violating?
No, sir. And then that's when I asked for a supervisor. And then he happened to call in one, and 5 minutes later, Evelyn showed up.
This is Officer Eveleth, who apparently... How do you know it was Eveleth? It was
I asked for his name, and...
He gave his name?
Yeah.
Did he say he was a sergeant?
As far as I know, yeah.
So we have apparently promoted by himself to a new status, Sergeant Eveleth.
Because that's what I asked for.
Perhaps he was appointed a sergeant when I wasn't looking, but as far as I know, I saw him at the 7-Eleven 3 days ago, and I didn't notice any additional stripes on his uniform. I could have, of course, missed it. Did you see sergeant stripes on Evelyn's shoulder?
No.
So this was maybe he picked up the sergeant status in some sort of cereal box.
Cracker Jacks.
Possibly. You can get a special badge. Maybe he gave himself a promotion, felt he was being overlooked.
Maybe his sergeant was using the bathroom.
Maybe he was simply trying to stand in for his sergeant. So what did Sergeant Eveleth tell you?
That what Officer Brierly said was correct, and I could be there on the sidewalk, and that I had to close my books and leave right now, and there was no way out of it, or, you know,
so he said
tell me why I really had to leave. He just told me I was in violation.
So he didn't really, did he cite a municipal code that supposedly you were violating?
No.
Did either of them write you a ticket or threaten to write you a ticket?
No, but before Sergeant Emma came on, asked me for my ID.
And did he indicate what crime he had reasonable suspicion was happening?
No.
I guess.
Oh, yeah, he said it looked like I was conducting business.
Conducting business.
It looked like.
Now, you, of course, had a series of, what, pictures that you had drawn in front of you and another sign that said donations?
Mm-hmm. And my other famous sign, I'm not the famous rich actor Gerard Depardieu.
Yes, this is something we haven't mentioned. Mike Quinn. Thank you, Michael. Is it Mike or Michael?
Michael.
Michael is a really kind of a lookalike for that French actor Gerard Depardieu, and of course you probably have had to fend off the women big time because of that, right? No doubt the men as
but
well.
But of course.
Yeah.
I give them the French wink, you know.
The French wink. Watch
the
out.
The women, I mean.
The women, is, I see. So your predilections run in that direction.
It's pretty good when I'm down there drawing that even African-Americans or Asians go, you really, really do look like him. And I don't have cosmetic or anything
no,
on this.
No, you just have that kind of... That
natural look.
Wild and crazy Gerard Depardieu look. The kind of the hair... thrown back over the
and
forehead.
That was part of the reason, I think,
face.
Too. My sign there, I was getting a lot of French tourists looking at me and smiling and agreeing with me that I did look like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Briarly was checking me out off and on, wondering why there was a little crowd of tourists around me.
He perhaps resented the fact that you were getting this attention?
Yeah, and he wasn't. So, and then he kept saying, or... kept saying it looked like I was conducting business. I don't even know what that meant, though.
So, how long did all this police interrogation and this phony call my sergeant, in comes officer, self-designated Sergeant Eveleth, how long did that take?
About a good half hour.
Half hour. So the police essentially tied you up for half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reaction of the crowd as this happened?
They were just shocked and in awe, especially the ones over in the balcony. I had a guy looking through binoculars wondering what was going on. I could tell.
So you said that later on you went across the street and talked to this guy who said he'd been observing the whole scene with binoculars?
The other way around. He came over to me when I went to buy a pack of cigarettes over at the liquor store. And he came up to me and said, here's $5. And I said, well, I wasn't asking for that because I know I... feel bad you had to leave because you weren't causing any problem.
Now you're a man currently without lodging. We would call you shelterless.
And I call myself a financialist.
Say that again.
Financialist.
A financialist.
Yeah.
What is that?
Person without money.
I see. except of course for the occasional leavings or donations from your grateful public.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been without shelter?
Because of my disability, 4 years.
And what kind of a disability is that?
Two herniated discs, heart murmur, and throat operation.
Two herniated discs, a heart murmur, and a throat operation.
Yeah.
Did you mention this to any of these police officers?
Violently.
And they, of course, immediately were very sympathetic, tipped their hats, and went on their way?
Nope.
No. What did they do?
They just gave me I don't care, look. It didn't matter to me that you're just another homeless person.
Did they use the word homeless at any point, and do you remember or not?
No, but you can always tell that look that you get either at a shop or, somewhere you go and get coffee or something. If you're carrying a backpack or something, you're homeless automatically.
Mm-hmm. How often had you been doing this beforehand on the boardwalk? Was it like every Sunday, or were you doing it more?
Well, every day, practically.
Had officers come by and sort of just sort of nodded? And
yeah, and they liked my work and everything, and then mention a word, and then come find out the next day, Monday, the secretary and I got together, and I went down to City Hall, and she called the commander at watch, and he told her over the phone there are not to be any vendors of any kind, entertainment, guitar, balloons, bubble man, anybody at all from, I call it Dream On In, but Dream In at the top of the hill, all the way to the other side of the Ferris wheel and the steps of the boardwalk at any time.
So
unless you have a permit.
The watch commander then, in essence, had said...
But I've never seen any of this in writing.
So he adopted a policy. I guess, that is really the definition of a police state, where the police make the regulations.
As you go along.
And make decisions about what you can do in public spaces based upon their priorities. Perhaps it wasn't a police regulation. Perhaps it was some new strange city council ordinance or some other policy we're unaware of. Maybe someone in our audience can let us know what this, call in to 427-3772 and let us know, what in fact was, is there, you have new information, and why is it criminal now to do a caricature or do a street performance in front of along a public sidewalk of the boardwalk from the Dream On Inn, as you call it, down to the Ferris wheel. I don't think that's true, because frankly, I walked down that stretch yesterday. I saw Mr. Twister doing his thing, the clown that does balloons for the kids. I saw a juggler juggling. So I don't think that there is
a real ordinance.
Necessarily any such ordinance or even new policy. Let's take this call, sure. See what's happening here. Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Oh, I wanted to buy a cheeseburger. Oh, hey, Robert, this is Scott.
Oh, dear. Scott, have you been listening to our show?
A little bit, yeah. I just tuned in, actually.
Scott, for those who don't know you, of course, are the indefatigable individual who always shows up at city council meetings to wait till the bitter, bitter end, and you become the chronicler, the man who observes, the silent witness, and not so silent at times. What's your take on all this with Mike Quinn and the cops?
Well, it's just another example of city staff not having any authorization to do something, but they do it anyway. You know, it's just a recent thing that happened to me at the Civic Auditorium, going to see Ziggy Marley. They wanted to search me on the way in there, along with everyone else that was going to the show, and I refused to allow them to search me until they can show me some documentation authorizing their ability to search people. They couldn't do that, so they let me in without searching me.
Tell us a little more about this. I know you and I talked about it a couple of days ago, but I don't think I even know if I interviewed you on that on tape. I don't think I did.
No.
You want to tell us some more details? You went to the Civic Auditorium, you'd purchased or been given a ticket to a rather expensive show, and the minute you got your ticket, you were informed it was time to strip down, that sort of thing?
Well, not strip down, but just lift my arms up. They wanted me to lift my arms up so they could pat me down.
And what
which they were doing to nearly everyone that walked through the doors.
What kind of criminal contraband? Maybe uranium-depleted weapons, knives, guns? Is that what they were looking for?
Well, actually, what they were mostly looking for, it seemed, was alcohol and tobacco.
Tobacco.
Right.
Well, they were attempting just to take you away from your life of sin. We know tobacco, of course, is far more serious drug than nicotine, than marijuana, for example, in terms of the number of deaths each year, 400,000 from lung cancer and other related diseases. So they were really sort of the medical police? What was this all about?
Well, it seems that the largest number of complaints that they get at different varying shows are for people smoking tobacco. People don't complain about people smoking pot. You know, they assume that's going to happen, I guess. But they don't assume that people be smoking cigarettes at these venues, so they go and complain. So, I went and talked to the director of Parks and Recreation, Jim Lang, who's in charge of the Civic Auditorium, the next morning about this policy. And he said that's the reason they do it, is because they get so many complaints about people smoking cigarettes. And I said, well, why not just remove people if they light up a cigarette? And he said, well, that creates another problem of, having this distraction in front of a bunch of people as they're trying to kick somebody out, because a lot of times people don't want to go willingly.
Mm-hmm.
And so that creates a whole...
So it's sort of a preemptive strike. They're going to have you drop all your Camels at the door.
Right, yeah. I mean, they tried to get my cigarettes away from me. I didn't want to be searched, and the guy grabbed my pocket and tried to take my cigarettes away from me.
And what did you do then?
I stepped back from him and I said, hey, this is a violation of the Constitution. What gives you the authority to do this? And the t-shirt and security guard said, well, those signs over there, and there's these signs, all subject to search. But it didn't, at the bottom of the sign, there was no listing of an ordinance, of a Supreme Court decision, or any such thing authorizing them to do that. And the next day when I went to Parks and Rec and talked to Jim Lang and also went to the city attorney's office and talked to the assistant city attorney, I found out there is no document that supports their right to do this.
It's all
and
simply...
So now they're scrambling to find justification somewhere in the state of California, in some other city or county somewhere, to justify the fact that they're doing this. This has never been brought before the city council. No city council authorized Parks and Rec to search people.
Oh, Jim Lang is well known for taking, shall we say, liberties.
Right, and it seems like the police are doing the same thing to this artist here. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I mean, there's a big push in this town right now to promote the arts. And I don't see how police repression or illegal searches helps do that. You know, it seems kind of ridiculous. It seems like a self-defeating thing.
Well,
you know?
Let me ask my guest here, Michael Quinn. Michael, were you searched?
No, but I felt really humiliated and discriminated and harassed because he asked for my ID in front of everybody. And like Scott, I didn't see any sign on the beach street that says no vendors at any time.
No what?
No vendors.
No vendors at any time.
Yeah, with the skateboards and the bicycles and the dogs, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, even had there been a sign, we know that in numerous cases, for example, down on the beach boardwalk, they misinformed the public even with the signs. But you're saying they didn't even have a sign.
No, you know? And they don't. I mean, there's sign no alcohol on the beach, but how many people really bring alcohol in their ice chest, you know, and chug a look down on the beach, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course, the open container law we've spoken of many times as being clear act of discrimination against mm-hmm. homeless people. It says if you have an open bottle, even if your behavior is beyond reproach, that's mm-hmm. considered a basis for, you know, a criminal behavior.
Yeah.
You're considered to be a criminal.
Yeah, he got real irate when I asked his name, though, Brierly.
Oh, Officer Brierly. You know, I don't even know who Officer Brierly is. Maybe I should ask my producer.
She don't know.